Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Marlene Lockhart and I talk with State Senator Patricia Farley. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mary Lau, Mac Bibee, and Seth Richardson. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program State Senator Patricia Farley.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. One of the bills that you're dealing with is the Death with Dignity bill. I think this is such an important bill. Where are we with this at this point in time?
So right now we're, I believe it's scheduled for hearing, and we're getting all the support that we can, kind of communicating with all the different groups so that they are there to discuss how important this is to individual Nevadans.
Do you think that this is going to go through this time? Last time it was up and died an ugly death. Tick Sagerblum says that it's going to sail through this time. Do you agree with his assessment?
I do. I think that obviously the chairmanship of the committees that are hearing the bill matters on this issue. I also think over the last 2 years, people become more and more educated as to why this bill is a human rights issue. So my hope is, and my estimation is, that this will pass through.
I mean, bottom line for me is, you know, this is another issue of where I don't want to tell a woman what to do with her body, and I don't want anybody to tell me what I should do with mine. If I find myself in a situation that is untenable, then I want the right to be able to end my life.
Yeah, you know, and I agree. And I've dealt with this issue with two parents passing from lung cancer, and both very educated, very stable, competent people. And it is hard to watch. I believe both my father and my stepmother deserve the right to self-determination on that. And I think what was super crazy for me was 4 months after my dad passed, my 14-year-old Lab was 14. And the interesting thing, it was that the doctors and friends, everybody talked about the being humane and putting her down, right? And she couldn't eat. She couldn't take care of herself. She couldn't go out in the backyard. And we have that compassion for animals, but we don't have that compassion for humans to make their own determination. So I hope that as we become more educated, that people will see that that's truly what's at the core of this issue.
Senator, I wanted to turn to children's issues. You have really developed a position of leadership on children and family issues. And I wondered, where are you? You have a number of bills, and where are we in the process? Do those all look as if they're going to go through this time?
We ran a ombudsman child welfare bill, which has a significant price tag on it. But we are significantly behind in our technology and our capabilities with dealing with children in the child welfare system. almost to the extent that on any given day, it's a 50-50 chance that we will actually know where a child is that's within the state's custody, in a foster home, or in a congregate care living. And it's all because we have a system from 2004. So we, on the child welfare folks, along with myself, are looking for any way that we can get that price tag done, down, lower. But I'm going to strongly advocate that those are our most vulnerable citizens. They've been through a lot already. The state has a responsibility to ensure that we are giving them the best care.
Let's talk about the movement to get away from the electoral college and go with a popular vote in Nevada. This would be the death knell for Nevada's relevance and any other small state. How do you feel about this?
So I get both sides of the argument. However, I think people are rushing for the popular vote because they didn't get what they wanted out of it. Where there's been many elections over history where the president wasn't elected by the popular vote. If the popular vote were to been the process, we would have had a different president. I do believe that every state should have a voice within the electoral system in electing a president. With that said, I think there's an issue within the parties. And I feel like instead of going back and each party addressing the issues within itself, that now we're looking for something else to go fix besides fixing what's really at the root of it, which on both sides have issues that where they need to get their folks together. And they need to get a party platform and a message that people can identify with.
But it just seems to me that if you go away from the Electoral College, the whole idea of the Electoral College was to give voice to states the size of Nevada, Wyoming, and others, and that if you get rid of it and go to the popular vote, then all that money is going to be spent in California and New
Absolutely.
York, and that's the end of it.
Yep, I agree.
Senator, I would disagree with Sam a little bit. The genesis of the Electoral College was really the founding fathers did not completely trust the electorate to make the correct decision. And it was a time when even blacks and other minorities were excluded from being considered. So to Sam's point, we may be from a proprietary level for Nevada not getting the attention it's enjoyed in the past, but shouldn't the issue be overall what's better for the country? And shouldn't all citizens be able to have a voice?
So I agree. And I think that an electoral college vote is designated by population. And I have not seen where someone has gone up as, let's just say, an electoral college voter for Trump, but then voted for Hillary. That didn't happen. We haven't seen mischief yet in that process. So I'm worried about the overall, okay, well, now New York, Florida, and California decides the fate of our nation. And then there's this vast land of people that we're now taking away their voice and their ability then we're going to lose voters because what's the point at that point, right? If you don't live in California, Florida, or New York, why vote?
Well said, Senator Farley, and I can see another show coming up. It will be the debate between Marlene and I. Listen, let's take a break. More with Senator Farley when we come back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Patricia Farley. I want to get to this so we don't run out of time. You changed from being a Republican to being an independent, and you're caucusing with the Democrats. Do you plan to run for re-election?
Yes.
And do you plan to run as a Democrat?
I plan to run for re-election at this point. My whole goal, and I've been honest and open with everybody, was I was elected a Republican in 2014. I feel the party label of nonpartisan really defines who I was in 2015 legislature and who I've always been. And so I'm going to get through this session, and then I'm going to take a step back and reevaluate what is the best way to serve Senate District 8.
Are you comfortable with the way you're being treated by the Democrats at this point?
Absolutely. It's been very professional. It was very professional from the get-go. I was warmly welcomed by friends who were my friends prior to the switch. I had developed relationships in the 2015 session and all of the special sessions. And I think because my motives for changing wasn't political opportunism, where I wasn't looking to advance myself or take something that didn't belong to me from somebody else who had worked hard and earned it, I was welcomed right into the family.
And speaking of 2015, what are the major changes? Each session has its own environment, its own very different from one another. What do you see the major differences this session over last?
Last session to me was very big, I want to say strategy moves from a business perspective. And it was for 10 years prior, the Republicans didn't have a voice in the legislature. And then all of a sudden you heard them roar, right? Instead of maybe it should have been a little bit more tempered. And then this session has come out back with, I think we heard loud and clear from some of the progressive Democrats, their roar that they feel underrepresented by the Democratic Party. We see the line that the Democrats really are the party that, gives voice to the voiceless. And now I think as we go into the second half of the session, you're seeing the balance come back in of we've got to balance creating opportunities so that people can have all the things that they are feeling underrepresented by. So I'm hoping that this session is very tempered by reality, that we're still number one or last on every single list. People don't feel better being Nevadans, that they're getting ahead. Our school system needs help. Our mental health needs help. Our children need help. And so I think we need to be looking deeply at those issues because those are foundational issues while also having our eye on the future, which is economic issues, and there's got to be a good balance.
Okay, so all those things you brought up are all great things and everybody would aspire to them, but they all cost money. The only increased tax that we're looking at right now is the marijuana tax, which I'm presuming you are supportive of. Are you looking to increase taxes elsewhere to pay for some of those programs?
So I think there's looking at one, even in my welfare bill, is studying how is the money being spent and are we maximizing our dollars? And I never really feel like we ever do that as a government. So there's a lot of money that's spent. Are we spending it correctly? Are we spending it on the right things? And are we investing organically in Nevada to grow Nevada? I think most businesses feel the same thing. It's never the right strategy to go out and buy your way to profitability by merger and acquisition. So giving away the farm on tax benefits and or tax abatements and tax incentives is good strategically in one-offs, but it's not the strategy for economic development. I think we've proved that. So now I think we have to really look at, as a state, are we growing Nevada?
Okay, so if somebody were to come in with a $5 billion project, you wouldn't want to give them incentives to be here?
So a $5 billion? So
a billion even.
A billion? It would depend. I have an economic development bill that's coming out, and I think it's got to be weighted in so much as even if they're coming in for $1 billion, are all their friends going to come? Does that mean they're going to vertically integrate in Nevada? So are we going to recover those tax incentives and tax abatements that we're handing out? What is the kind of jobs that are coming? If they're $15, $16 an hour jobs, no. If they're building our base in engineering technology, again, they're going to bring their vertically integrated suppliers and subcontractors and stuff to come with them? Absolutely. So the problem is we've never seen that balance brought forward in an economic development plan. So I think there's a looking at those types of opportunities, but I think we should be just as much looking at Nevada to create its own opportunities.
Speaking of money, all eyes are on the ESA issue, education savings accounts, and that has a $60 million price tag attached to it. Do you support the ESA program, or do you think that money could be better used going directly to our school system?
And we have about 10 seconds.
Okay. I've always supported the ESAs. I do think there needs to be some caps on it. But as a mother of children in the school district today, I don't have 2 years. I don't have a year for the school district to fix it. I need it fixed now.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so Thanks. Much, Senator Farley. We hope you'll come back.
Thank you.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Murray Lau is here, the president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, Seth Richardson, political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal, and Mac Bybee, president and CEO of the Associated Builders and Contractors. Well, Mary, it was quite an end of the week and weekend. What happened and what happens next in D.C.?
Who can ever guess what happens next in D.C.? But what happened was, you know, Amade has been calling for regular order, and he's not the only one. They didn't put hearings on the bill. They pulled it out. They tried to shove it through, and they didn't allow for amendments and stuff. So it's ironic, and Amade was right when it comes down to there's only one carrier in rural Nevada. And it doesn't solve the problem, you know. And I think they're going to continue to work on it because, let's face it, Congress is under the ACA also. They're paying the same insurance rates as everybody else, and it's a promise to fix it, but you can't just take something away and leave a vacuum. So I guess if you're going to turn around and play the blame game, I think it was mishandled by Ryan, and I agree with an article that I read earlier that said you didn't expect Trump to walk in and be an expert on politics, but you expected the experts to give good advice. So I think it's a real big egg on their face, but we'll see where it goes.
You know, it was interesting. Charles Krauthammer over the weekend, Seth, wrote a great column talking about how the functions of government are actually working very well. The Supreme Court, the Congress, the White House.
I guess in a way you could look at it that way. I mean, I don't think it's working out very well for the president right now. I mean, you have his travel ban getting held up in the judiciary, and then the you know, the whole fiasco with this health care bill. But I guess if you want to take it from the 30,000-foot perspective, that's kind of what the branches of government are supposed to do. I think a lot of people would argue that this is going to lead to more gridlock in the end. If you can't get your signature idea passed, which you've been, you know, trumpeting for quite some time, and can't even get that passed with everybody on board, then, you know, how are you going to move forward on an infrastructure bill or tax reform or anything of the like?
Mac, you spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill. What are your thoughts?
Well, people forget that the House Democrats actually tried to move two health care reform bills that failed ultimately before Harry Reid took control of it. I think that they're not looking at lessons of the past when they try to move this bill. And I also, just judging between, you know, when George W. Bush came in and had his agenda, Dick Cheney was on site on Capitol Hill every day twisting arms. And I don't know if that happened out of this administration.
You know, it's interesting to look at this because Harry Reid had enough trouble getting Obamacare passed with his own Senate because at least three of the senators were holding out for benefits. So just because you have 60 votes doesn't mean to say you're going to get what you want to get. Isn't one of the problems here, and Donald Trump is saying over the weekend, maybe I'm going to have to work with the Democrats, that there's a problem when you have all the power in one party in the White House and both houses of Congress?
Well, I agree that he should work with the Democrats and stuff. I mean, you can't sit there and complain about Nancy Pelosi passing a bill that said you'll love it when you read it and then try to do the same thing. I mean, it's got to be an inclusive process, but I loved your question to Seth because it's a microcosm of where politics is now. We have the same garbage going on down across the campus from this building. It's people aren't working together, they're not doing regular order, and they're not hearing the bills. One thing I've heard, and I'd be curious on Mac's aspect of this one, is that the speaker's staff is impossible to work with. The speaker may give a promise, and then the staff turns around and goes, we're not doing this. Harry Reid's staff was dead right on and lockstep behind Harry Reid every step of the way.
I believe that question was posed to you, Mac.
Yeah, and I think that's problematic when the staff is saying something contrary to what the person whose name on the door, the staff should always be in lockstep with the boss. Otherwise, heads typically roll when that happens.
Well, and isn't this an example of what happens when you put somebody who's not a part of the political process per se as the president? He doesn't have those organizational skills that come from, you know, essentially decades on the Hill.
Well, here's the bottom line. You sit down as a staff. Everybody has a conversation. You may not have uniform agreement, but when the boss says this is the direction you're going, you get in line and you move the direction that your boss is going. You did your due diligence by providing the advice. And if the boss determines that your advice isn't the way he wants to go, then you move in his direction.
So, Seth, you know, you brought up a couple of points here earlier, which is that Trump says, okay, we're done with health care. Now we're going to move on to the tax plan. That is way more complicated than health care.
You know, it makes more sense just from a strategic standpoint to go for that kind of infrastructure bill because you are going to be able to work with some Democrats on that who are going to want to bring something home. You've already got ill will widely among the party, and you're going to need them at some point. I mean, you can prove that just from the health care debate. So I guess it would make more sense to me to move to infrastructure first, try and get something out of there. Then you can go on to tax reform at some point. But it looks like they're going to tax reform, and I guess we'll see how those votes stack up.
There have been comments that infrastructure sounds great, bridges, roads, etc. But when it really comes down to it, infrastructure can be a lot of different things.
Oh, it's a massive take, but I think that part of the reasons why tax reform comes first, and I may be surprised to learn otherwise, is how you're going to pay for infrastructure. So if you're going to do some negotiating on infrastructure and you've already negotiated on tax reform, maybe that's where you get your public-private partnerships, is making deals.
And that's where we have to leave it. Making deals, what an idea. We'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures.
At EyeCare Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
On our next broadcast, State Senator Ivana Cancela. We'll see you then.